Today on Older and Wiser.
Are you hooked on the internet? Lots of Americans are. Well, today we'll reveal what countries are even more addicted than us.
We'll see what people really think about working from home. Plus, who should pay on a first date? We've got the survey results.
Also, are some words funnier than others? We've got the list of words people find most amusing.
Stay with us. You're listening to Older and Wiser.
I'm Bob Bates in Los Angeles, along with Susan Sikora, joining us from Northern California.
And as always, we're diving through public opinion surveys, and we're going to start with one about the internet. How addicted are we, and where are people most addicted?
This survey was done by Ipsos, and the idea was to sort of gauge public attitudes toward technology. They polled 18,000 people across 23 countries, and basically they wanted to find out, can you imagine yourself living without the internet?
No.
Yeah. No.
No, I really can't.
According to this survey, 73% of people in America said they couldn't imagine life without the internet. Germany felt the same way. China was 77%, which was more. The UK, 78%. And India, 82% said they couldn't imagine life without the internet. I can't imagine life without the internet. How did we ever survive?
Well, you know, and I think everybody uses it to varying degrees. I use it less than some of my friends. And the truth is, though, for the things I use it for, I want that now. I have to say that the internet has made me more impatient, not just with things online, but with things in general sometimes.
It does make us impatient, but I think for older people, it's fantastic because it really helps us connect and not feel so isolated. You know,
I think that's true. If they use it. I mean, there's some people who are into their 80s and 90s, and my mother wouldn't touch a computer if her life depended on it.
Do you feel that she's missing something?
You know what? I do, but she doesn't.
Yeah, because she doesn't know.
If you use it for email and for staying connected to family members, grandchildren, what it can make you feel like even though you couldn't get out and see somebody today, you talked to several people, you related to several people. If you use it just to shop all day, you know, that would be my downfall.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. You know, really, don't even, you know, I'm bored. What's QVC offering now?
Exactly.
You know, so, I mean, and I don't always buy.
Now, you and I met pre-internet. In the late 80s, there was no internet. We know what that feels like. We know, also remember what it feels like to have no cell phones. And yet I don't look on those days as a struggle. I don't think, you know, I look back at them and think we had a good time. Life was full. Was it better or was it not as good to be without the internet?
Wow. You know, that's a hard question because for some people, let me say this. I think for doing things like paying your bills or getting information or staying in touch or getting back to somebody quickly, for doing things that are not super important or that are important, but you don't need to go get in your car, go down to the bank, put your check in the bank.
It certainly made our lives easier.
And it can save time.
But has it made our lives better?
Well, I think that's a matter of individual judgment.
Yeah. The one technological advancement that I find most miraculous, I think, and also keeps us connected, is video conferencing, like Skype. My wife and daughter are in New York right now, and they've been there for a few weeks. And we were using Facebook Messenger for a live picture from our phones. And it was like, you know, I was in the room with them. Mm-hmm. I wish that I had had that when my parents were alive so that I could have talked to them from wherever I was in the country and had real face-to-face conversations.
Would your parents have done it on their end? Because it takes two to play.
Oh, sure. I think they would have. Yeah. You know, if what we complain about in technology is that we've lost our face-to-face connection, that we no longer talk, we no longer sit down with each other and actually have a conversation. Why not live video conference in some way? It's the mm-hmm. same thing as being in the same room. It's fantastic.
It's funny, though, because sometimes people move away from their family because they do, really don't want to be near those people. And then okay, I miss you now, so let's use Skype and then I'll be back with you. You know what I mean?
Our next survey comes to us from CyberLink and YouGov. They studied 1,150 adults who have jobs and wanted to find out whether working from home is something that really works or it doesn't. 43% of workers chose to work outside the office at some point last year. So companies are getting to the point now where they're using the internet to allow their workers to stay home, mm-hmm. saving them the cost of a desk, I guess, and all that goes with having an employee under their roof. But does it work for the employee, and does it ultimately work for the company? Hard to know.
Well, there's probably a tremendous sense of trust that needs to be in place.
Yeah.
If I'm your employer and you're going to work from home, I have to trust that you are actually going to spend that time working for me if I'm going to pay you for that day the same as I would pay you in the office, except for the fact that I'm not paying for your desk and your coffee and your air conditioning or whatever, or heat. But, and I don't know. I mean, that you're working in your pajamas wouldn't concern me necessarily.
Sure. And you're still on the same deadlines and you're still connected by email and by instant messaging. So it's not as though you can slough off on the work. It seems like people are going to hold you accountable for accomplishing the tasks you're supposed to accomplish.
Yeah, and not only that, let's remember one thing. How much time is wasted in the office? You're using company time and not for company business. So there is a lot of time that happens where people are kind of, you know.
And I'm sure there's a lot of wasted time in the office with water cooler chat or, people wandering around, sitting on other people's desks, chatting and gossiping. And
on the other hand, if you've got to do teamwork, if you're engaged and connected, if we're friendly, if we have a relationship, if I know how you think and feel about things and you know the same about me, when we work together on a project, I think that can enhance what we're going to do.
My daughter works for a San Francisco company, but she is currently working in New York by remote.
Okay.
And for part of that, she was in the apartment alone all day, and it was driving her crazy because mm-hmm. there's nobody to talk to. There's social interaction at all.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would be very hard for employees to work from home all day.
I think the working from home online, while it's convenient, saves you gas, saves you time, saves you traffic, saves all that stuff, and saves the employer a bit also, as we talked about, it also disconnects you from all the stuff that happens in between the work projects. Right.
All right. Our next survey today comes to us, was done by Money Magazine and Survey Monkey. And the question was, who should pay for a first date? And I guess this may vary through the generations, like when you're a teenager, it's one thing. When you're, a senior out there dating, it's probably something else. But on average, 78% of the respondents said that they think that men should pay for the first date. I don't know where
I tend to agree with that. If I were a guy, I think I would definitely want to make the first move, invite you for dinner, what have, go out and pay for that first date, maybe even the second or third. I think it makes me look a little more gallant and a little more attractive. That's just me.
I also feel like it's possible that men may feel that to pay for the date themselves gives them a little bit of control over where things go from there.
Yeah, and also I'll tell you what else comes in. Does he want to kiss goodnight or more? Or even
yeah,
that?
Yeah, right.
Well, he paid for dinner, so I guess I owe him something. Well, actually, that's a whole different set of things.
Of the results, 85% of men felt that they should pay, mm-hmm. and 72% of women said the men should pay. So men are arguing the fact that they should pay. It's not like, it's not a fight. It's like, okay, yeah, we want to pay.
Yeah, and a lot of guys are still not comfortable, and maybe this is an age thing too. I think probably men our age, you know, in let's say the 55 up group, I think would probably feel that way, that they should pay. Not all of them, but I think a lot of them would feel, well, it's just the manly thing to do.
When asked how much was appropriate to spend on the first date, 41% of respondents answered $25 to $49.
Where are you going?
Well, I know. That's
where
a that's a pretty.
Because if you live in San Francisco Bay Area, you're going
to
dinner.
Wendy's is where you're going.
Yeah, Wendy's, you might just about get out of the drive-in with that.
Many male respondents claimed to be bigger spenders, though. 43% of men said they expected to shell out between $50 to $99 on the first date. Yeah, I think $99 is probably.
That's
more
fine.
What you'd have to pay in Los Angeles for dinner for two and a couple of glasses of wine. I think that's a very bad place to start, though, in a relationship,
is to
overextend yourself right off the top, because then you're screwed. Yeah.
It sets a precedent. And then, if you go out to, a really fancy place and spend $200 on a dinner bill for two, and then you don't have enough money, and the next week it's Wendy's, that's going to be quite a contrast.
I mean, she may go out with you again, but how are you going to keep this up over the long haul?
Exactly. Yeah. You got to keep up the pace. And also, to go with what you like. Back to the pizzeria.
There you go. Back to the pizzeria. Okay, finally today, we're talking about words. The Smithsonian reports that psychologists at the University of Warwick in the UK conducted a survey in which they asked people to rate the humor value of a sampling of words.
Mm-hmm.
Humor. First of all, it didn't even occur to me that certain words were perceived as funnier than other words, but I guess they are. They selected 5,000 words. And then they kind of randomly chose 211 words from the list. They asked 800 individuals to sort of rank those words and tell them which ones they thought were funny.
Tell me which they are.
Well, the funniest word that everybody thought was hilarious is booty.
Really?
Booty. You know, which is your rear end.
I thought it was funny when I first heard it and what it was used for. I mean, it's, your rear end. Okay, fine, I guess. But you know what? Isn't that what it is?
Yeah, it's your rear end.
Okay.
Booty. It's a booty call.
But now that I've heard it so much, I think once you use these words a lot, they sort of become part of the language. And so the humor dissipates.
I get men in particular thought the ones that had a little sexual connotation were funnier than other ones. I guess that's logical. Like Hooter. I thought that's kind of a cute word, Hooter.
Hooter's funny.
Okay. And listen, that restaurant's made a lot of money off that word, the Hooters.
Yeah, sure.
Booby. Boob is actually a kind of an amusing word. Because it can be used as you're an idiot, or, it's an anatomical thing. But it's a charming too. It's not offensive.
Okay, so go ahead, because so far I'm not hysterical.
I like tinkle.
Tinkle's cute. Tinkle's cute. It's cute, and it's also acceptable if you want to let people know you're going to head to the facilities, but you're not going to be there for a long time to read a book.
It tells a whole story. Tinkle. Mm-hmm. Tinkle does, tells a whole story. Waddle.
Although not in the middle of the dinner in the first date.
You got to go. You got to go. Waddle is a nice word. I like that.
Okay,
twerp, really kind of an old word. Kids don't really use the word twerp anymore.
No.
Twerk, I guess they use that, but that isn't on the list, twerk.
That's a different thing, yeah.
Yeah. Apparently, there were some odd words that men found to be amusing. And it helped me understand. Men thought the word birthmark is funny. I don't even get that.
Okay, well, how would I – and I'm not a guy, so I can't explain it to you.
I was hoping you could explain.
I mean, I don't find it funny, birthmark. I mean, birthmark for most women, if you can see it, is something –
funny.
Is the coverage on that foundation good so I can cover up my birthmark? I don't know.
What about raccoon? Raccoon. Oh, that's a raccoon.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe
that's funny?
Well, if you do it with an accent, raccoon – it's not hilarious. It's not cracking me up. Okay, you look at the list here of the women's words and tell me which ones you like.
All right, let's see. The words they liked were giggle. Giggle is kind of funny because giggle sounds like what it is. It's like almost, it's almost onomatopoeia kind of thing.
Yeah. If you giggle, it's
giggle,
funny.
Giggle is kind of, it's kind of a cute, it almost wants to make you giggle when you say giggle. Okay.
Right.
Beast, I don't think is so funny. Circus, again, you're going to the meaning, but I don't, you know, grand. Juju, humbug, slicker, sweat, ennui. Well, if you say ennui.
Well, ennui is funny, odd. You know,
holder,
it's like,
and sod.
Say those last, you know, what were those last three again? Say those.
Holder.
What?
Holder, like a gun holder, I guess, or that would be a holster. I don't know.
I can't imagine how that could rank on the scale of funny words.
Funny. See, this is what maybe the sense of humor is totally gone.
Yeah.
Mama, I don't know.
Mama.
And sod, S-O-D, like for dirt.
Like dirt, like, well, like grass, sod?
I guess, but why is that funny? I don't think any of these are funny. Giggle, I only like giggle.
I do find that different people have a different definition of funny. And maybe it's on the scale. You know, obviously, tinkle, you can't do better than tinkle. Tinkle and booby. Those are my favorites. They're two. They're funny. They go together.
And I like giggle. I like giggle. They came up with some for people under 32 that thought were funny. Goatee, joint, gangster, and older participants liked squint, jingle. Jingle could be fun, but that sort of reply, you know, you think of jingle bells, I guess. Burlesque and pong. I have to tell you something. Who did this study, and do they not have anything better to do? Could they study something else? I just don't think this is even a – I don't think this study was worth their time, frankly.
Yeah, I don't know what we learned from this.
Not much.
Not too much. But I always feel that that's a good way to end our show each week, is to bring you some information you didn't really want. That's the goal. So on that note, let's say it's time for us to wrap this up right now. And we're glad you joined us today for Old Fair Minds.
And you can find the links to all these stories, plus all our past podcasts, on olderandwiser.com.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.